what this ministry really is. I mean, you guys really do a lot of it between the tithe and the worship and the preaching at some points. And so, man, it's just been phenomenal to watch you guys grow. We've ended our series in John. So, I'm sorry, in 2 Timothy. John was a while back. So we're actually not going to dive deep into 2 Timothy today. Today, I'm going to talk about something a little bit different. But there are some scriptures. So if you do have your Bible, feel free to whip it out or get the app out on your phone if you want to. Here's the big idea for today. If you're taking notes, you write the big idea at the top, because it's the main point I want you guys to get today. You guys can get out your notes. Let me begin with prayer, and then we're going to dive in. Holy Spirit, we invite you into the room. Would you help me communicate this message today? I can't do it without you. And Father, would the students, would they hear my heart? Would they hear your heart of tenderness and love, conviction? And would it come through me? And would they see my love for them, but also my willingness to obey? And would they have the same willingness to obey? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here's the big idea. You guys ready? Got your notepad out? Okay, here's the big idea. What we prioritize will either define our success. What we prioritize will either define our success or become our demise. What we prioritize will either define our success, so it becomes the measurement by which we know if we're succeeding in life or not. What we have set as the number one priority, if your number one priority is loving God, that's how you're going to judge whether you're succeeding in life. Well, today I loved God, today I succeeded. But if your priority is something different, you're going to judge your success differently. The second half of that, or it will become your demise. Right? You set something up as God. We all know, we've talked a lot about idolatry. You set something else as that main priority, and you start worshiping that thing. All of a sudden, your priorities are backwards, and it becomes your demise. I'm going to get a little bit more. I'm going to explain it a little bit better. But I just want you to write that down. What we prioritize will define our success or become our demise. So what takes priority in your life? I mean, what really takes priority in your life? Because there's a lot of things that I would say take priority in my life, that I would think that in my theology, meaning how I see God, it's right, right? In my core values, it's right. God first, family second, right? I have these priorities. But then how does it actually come out when I live my life? When I live my life, do my priorities really reflect this ideal list that I've made in my mind? What are your priorities? How do you know what your priorities are? What do you spend your time on, your talent on, your tithe on, your energy on, your affections on, your emotions? What stresses you out and brings you anxiety? You want to see where your priorities are? Find out what stresses you out. And if it's something of this world, right, then it might be that that priority is a little bit too high on the list, right? If what stresses you out is the fact that people are going to die and go to hell, then, well, yeah, that's a good priority, right? But if what stresses you out, that to the point of anxiety, the point of even harming yourself, to the point of depression, right, is the test that you're studying for, it might be a little bit too high on the priority list. And so then it defines your success, and then it defines your identity. It's like, wow, well, if I don't do well on this test, then I'm a failure as a person. If I fail the test, I'm a failure. Now, I want you to succeed in school. But do you see how when the priorities start to get out of line, your identity starts to get out of line? So here's the first point. Priorities matter. Priorities matter. They shape us into the men and women that we want to be, and they're the tool by which we measure success. Left unattended, our priorities can lead us to a place we never intended to go. If God is on the priority list, right, and then family, right, so you got your wife and your son, And then further down the priority line is ministry or work or school. I'm still in school too. And just a couple of those switch one slot. If one just bumps down, just one slot. And you leave it there because you don't even realize it, right? Your wife's really not second. She's like third or fourth. And you just keep going in your life. It will lead you to a place you never want to go. Let me read you a story, a true story. There once was a pastor of a very large Baptist congregation in the Midwest. And trust me, this happens all over the United States. So this isn't just the story of one man's life. This is the story of many men. This is a theme throughout the Christian church and throughout careers in general. The congregation had grown from 120 people to 1,000. They had just moved into a multi-million dollar facility. And as a gift, they gave the pastor a brand new house, title and all, as a thank you gift. The pastor himself was a charismatic personality whose excitement for the gospel spilled over into the congregation. They had new programs, new church leaders, and a passion for the lost that few churches possessed and put into action. Outwardly speaking, this pastor had every reason to rejoice. But when we interviewed him, he was in his car, weeping for his wayward 17-year-old prodigal son. He later confessed, "I would trade every moment of my success in ministry for an opportunity to live my life over again. I would spend more time with my children." See, it's when we realize that priorities matter that we realize priorities need to be rearranged. It's when we realize priorities matter that we realize priorities sometimes need rearranging. There are moments in our life when we realize that it like dawns on us. It's like, oh my gosh, I've been spending like way more time on video games than I have on God, or way more time on homework, or way more time on this relationship, whatever it is, than God. All of a sudden, it like dawns on you. You realize that you don't know what to do. We got to rearrange the priorities. It starts in the heart. It can't just be, okay, well, I'm going to do more stuff with God. I'm going to do more stuff about God. I'm just going to do God more. No, you got to fall in love with God more. Something in the heart has to shift. Something in your priority line has to shift. It can't just be, okay, well, I'm going to stop doing the video games for however long, and I'm going to read the Bible more each day, because that's just the outward. That will come when you shift the priorities. When God literally is number one in your heart, all those other things will change. These are healthy but painful moments. When we get those wake-up calls, when God's like, hey, do you realize you haven't spent time with me? Right? Or maybe it's a sibling. You realize, wow, I have a little sister, a little brother that I have totally ignored. They should be my first disciple. I'm a student leader at Faith Student Ministries. I'm being mentored. I have a middle school disciple that I keep a journal with, and I'm leading them towards Jesus, and I have totally shunned my younger siblings. And all of a sudden, you realize your priority list might have been God, school, sports, siblings, when they should come right after God. And we're going to get to a more accurate list at the end. All of a sudden, you're like, wow, they are like way down on the priority list. What is happening? Those moments, and maybe some of you are having a moment like that right now, those moments are healthy and painful at the same time, right? They're healthy because all of a sudden there's this potential of change. It's like, whoa, okay, this is not right. I need to shift my priorities. My boyfriend should not become before God. You realize it. You're woken up. It's painful and it's healthy because all of a sudden things can change. This is the reality, my friends, of living as a finite creature in a finite world with finite resources. You have to delegate them properly. You don't have infinite time to just give everything. You have a minimum amount of time. You have a finite amount of time, right? So you've got to decide, okay, how much of this time is going to go to which thing, right? You have a limited amount of money, a limited amount of energy, a limited amount of love. Because you're not infinite, you can't just give freely to everything and everyone. That's what God does. We have to choose who is going to get my love, who is going to get my time, or what. John Acuff, national best-selling author of Stuff Christians Like. If you haven't read that, it's hilarious. It's a sarcastic critique on Christians. It's pretty funny. You can't read it too long. You'll grow cynical of the Christian church, but it's pretty funny at first. Like, you know, in his book, Stuff Christians Like, he says, Stuff Christians Like, number like 102, leaving room for the Holy Spirit when you dance. Or the side hug or whatever. And he just makes fun of us. It's so funny. The trendy worship pastor. And he has like this picture with like this bedazzled jeans and skinny jeans and the Starbucks coffee and the guitar. Anyway, just go buy the book. There you go, John Acuff. There's a shout out for you. If you're listening to this podcast on iTunes, I would like all the royalties to the books they buy. Thank you. In his book, Quitter, he says this. When it comes to priorities and achieving your life dream, do more of the things you love and less of the things you like. Be deliberate about what it really is you love and what it really is you like, and then hustle to keep love a bigger part of your day than like. I like playing a game of poker on my phone, right? Let's just be real. But I love my wife and my son. So when my wife's like, hey, can you help me with this dirty diaper? Can you take the dog out? Because I've got the baby, and I'm just sitting there on, I've got to determine in my heart, I like this, but I love my wife. And I don't know what that is for you guys. You got to determine. Man, I like playing around a Call of Duty, but I love my younger sibling. This is not worth the fight. Or I love my church. Or I, you know, I like playing sports. Maybe this is for some of you, but I love doing the internationals. So you know what? Mom and dad who want me to be a professional athlete, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go to Israel. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. Determine what you like. Determine what you love. Do more of what you love and less of what you like. Now, if you're not a Christian, that's a very bad idea. If you do not have Jesus in your heart will lead you astray. It's deceitfully wicked above all things. So you'll do more of the things you love, and you'll be in sin and debauchery, and it will be a bad place for you. You can repent and come out of it. God wants to save you. He loves you. He has grace on you. He wants to get you out. But if you're a Christian, he's given you a new heart. So you can really say, what is it that I really love and really want? Because he's changed your heart. And when you really get down to the core, it's like, man, I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good student. I want to be a, whatever it is for you guys. I want to be the best I can be. All of a sudden, those true desires come out. You're like, yeah, I like being lazy and, you know, sitting down and eating a Hot Pocket watching The Voice. But I love when my family loves God. So even as a child, I'm going to ask my parents if we can do a family devotion. I don't know what it is. You'll know. It's really easy to think that our priorities are correct until we really see reality, until we really look at reality. So when we notice that our priorities are out of line and they need realigning or rearranging, it is then that we fundamentally realize priorities are practical. And that's the third point. Priorities are practical. Because the question then becomes, well, how do I know? How do I know what where my list really is in reality? And how do I know how to rearrange them and shift them and change them? Priorities are practical. You can think something's a priority, but how does it, is it revealed? What's the fruit? The Bible says judge the fruit. Meaning, right, you can plant a tree, you can plant a seed, but the Bible says wait until that tree has grown and that tree has produced fruit, and that's how you judge. Oh, it's an orange tree. Got the orange, guys. In the same way, that's how you judge your priorities, right? You judge the fruit. It's like, wow, this kid is depressed. He's anxious. He's stressed out. He's lazy. All of a sudden, you start to see these things that God hasn't called you to. You start not to be fulfilled. You're frustrated. You're angry. You're lonely. It's like, why am I feeling all these things? It's the fruit. It's the fruit of how you've delegated your time, your resources, your energy. Can it be repaired? Yes. When they're rearranged and you realize priorities are practical. Who you are determines what you do. I got to say that first. Because some of you think, what you do determines who you are. It's the other way around in Christ. When Christ comes in and gives you a new heart, he changes your very nature. And out of that identity, I am a son or daughter of God, you then love people and love God and make disciples. Love God, love people, make disciples. Out of that, right? The world wants to say what you do defines you. Hey, who are you? I'm a milkman. I'm a pilot. What you do defines you. No. Who are you? I'm a son or daughter of the living God. Oh, and I happen to be a milkman, or I happen to be a pilot. You see the difference? So first, we got to start there. In Christianity, we believe who you are defines what you do, but what you do reveals what you really believe. So it is a measurement. You can't do something and then let that measure your core identity. Man, I sinned. My core identity is a jacked up sinner. No, your core identity is a saint of the Most High Living God who happens to sin. At the same time, though, the fact that you're sinning does reveal what you believe. Do you really believe God is good and gracious and forgiving? Because if you did, maybe you'd stop taking advantage of it. It reveals things. What you do reveals your priorities. Look at James 2:18. You guys know this verse. Some might argue, oh, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. James is not saying you're saved by good works. You do A, B, and C. God loves you. He's proud of you. You're saved. He's saying you're saved by faith. But man, if you really had faith, you would do good works. It'd be a natural fruit. He planted the seed of faith. Jesus Christ died for your sins 2,000 years ago on the cross, rose from death. Bam, that's planted in your heart. When the tree grows and when you grow in Christ, you produce good fruit. So how do you know when the priorities are out of line? They're practical, guys. You just look at your life. You got to examine your life and the fruit. So here's some application. I want to give you the list I feel like God has given me. This is the ideal list. Does Rob live it perfectly? No. But this is the list that I feel like God has given me. You ready? Number one, Christian. Where do I get that idea? Love the Lord with everything you got. That's Rob's paraphrase of love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love the Lord with everything. That's what that verse says. Okay? That seems to be at the top. Some of this is subjective because God in Scripture never gives you this list. Here's number one. Here's number two. Here's number three. He does say that you should have no other gods before him. So we know that he's at the top. Number two for me is husband. And you can change that to wife if you're a girl. It's like, well, we're not married yet. One day you will be. You'll need this list. Christian, husband, where do I get that idea? The Bible says, lay your life down for your bride. If you're a husband, he says, lay your life down. It's like, well, wives submit to your husbands. Yeah, but husbands, lay your life down. It's this constant who can get below the other person and serve them. And again, this is somewhat subjective because there isn't a list. It's just, this is what I feel revealed in Scripture to me. This is the list he's given me. Number three, father. One of the qualifications in Scripture for even doing what I'm doing right now, standing on stage and teaching you guys, right? It's really called being an elder, but it's just basically an overseer. I oversee you guys. One of the qualifications of an overseer is that your children are above reproach, which means they're not off in rebellion. That means anytime a pastor has children that are starting to go on their way and say, oh, it's just the teen years. Oh, it's just a phase. Oh, you're doing everything you can. No, you are going to step down from ministry. You're going to focus on your children until they are above reproach, as Scripture says, and then we will restore you. That's the biblical approach. The biblical approach would be that you take the priorities. If you can't rearrange your priorities, those in leadership above you, especially in the church, will say, hey, Rob, you got to rearrange your priorities. I'm just using myself as an example. It could be anybody, right? We wouldn't have the situation of the pastor whose son is 17, hates God, hates the church, because the church stole his dad. You wouldn't have that. Some of you are pastor's kids. You know what I'm talking about. So Christian, husband, father, friend. The Bible says there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, right? So the Bible actually it compares friendship to family. It says it's right up there, man. It's right up. There are friends that are going to be like brothers to you, brothers and sisters. Christian, husband, father, friend, neighbor. We know what the second commandment is. Love God and then what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So we know that that's up there on the priority list. And who's your neighbor? That's what the question was asked to Jesus. And Jesus basically responded, everybody. Everybody. Christian husband, father, friend, neighbor, employee, right? I would say pastor, but a lot of you won't be pastors, but you will be an employee to somebody. It's like, well, I'm going to own my own company. You're an employee to the electric bill then, my friends, to the grocery bill, to the diaper bill. You always have a boss. Why do I get that idea of being a good neighbor? Why is that even on Rob's list? Well, let's go, employee. This is out of Colossians. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. So God obviously prioritizes you working hard as an employee. Bible talks about slaves serving the master. Our context today would be the employee and the boss. And then lastly, I have on my list, and again, you got to rearrange your list a little bit. It's a little bit subjective because student might be a little bit higher on yours, but where I'm at in my life, then I have student. Because if you're not working a job, student might be bumped up, right? It's not employee student, it's just student. For me, student's at the very last thing. Where do I get that idea? Paul exhorts Timothy to study and show thyself approved. God values intellectual growth and studying. He values it. But I don't think above all these other things, according to what I see. So I have Christian, husband, father, friend, neighbor, employee, student. Man, one of those things gets swapped, it jacks up everything. And that's when I got to go back to, wait, priorities matter, they need rearranging, and they're practical. Let's evaluate where I'm at and get this list back in order. Not just the list. I've had this list forever, you guys, but living it. How do I live this? I want to show you a clip from the movie Iron Man 3. Who's seen it? We're going to watch this clip, and I'm going to come up and explain what God's doing in my heart in this season of transition. So let's watch this real quick. Sorry, I sprung that fast on you guys. If you're new, we cheer when the sound guys are doing an amazing job because their job is very difficult. Yep. Here we go.
Jarvis.
Hey.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
You know what to do.
The clean slate protocol, sir?
Screw it, it's Christmas. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so far? You like it?
It'll do.
All right. So somebody who's seen the movie, tell us what's going on. Who's seen it? Okay, what's going on? Blank slate protocol. What is that? Okay. Tony Stark, if you haven't seen the movie, obviously he's Iron Man, and he had gone from one suit at the beginning of Iron Man 1 to possibly hundreds of suits. We're not really sure how many. And he said, it's my hobby. And his wife said, his wife would come down and see him tinkering around, like, you don't spend any time with me, like, you're going to get yourself killed, you're going to get me killed, like, what's, you know, and they would get in these discussions about priorities. And he would say, this is just a hobby. So on his list, no, honey, you come before all these suits. But in the practicality of it, she didn't. So at the end of the movie, all these suits are flying around, and they're saving everybody's lives, so they're doing very good things. And sometimes you can be doing something that's very good, and even saving people's lives, and have your priorities out of line. So he's holding her at the end, And all of a sudden, something clicks in his mind and his heart, and he realizes, I really need to put her first. And so he tells Jarvis, blank slate protocol, and all the suits blow up, basically saying, this doesn't even compare to you in your heart. Yeah, they're doing good things. Yeah, they're saving people, but man, it does not come close to you as a priority in my life. So here's what God's been doing in my life. When I was at the Orange Conference about, I don't even know, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I feel like the Lord spoke to me a very similar thing, that I needed to rearrange some of my priorities and that my family, my wife, needed to come before ministry. He said, you need to lay your life down for your bride. I said, I am. He said, not my bride. I did that 2,000 years ago. Your bride. I was like, oh, man. And he loves me. He's proud of me. I've been faithful in the little. He's making me a ruler over much. He's done that from glory to glory. I don't think God is disappointed in me or sad. But I want to get my priorities in line in my heart, in the practical thing of life, before I become this pastor, before Nehemiah is 17. And I realize, holy crap, he's wayward. And I did not spend any time with him because I was addicted to saving people's lives and I thought I was Iron Man. So, I feel like he's been telling us to move to Nebraska, which means obviously I would have to leave you guys. So, that's where I'm going. That's where we're moving. We don't know when. We don't know how. But I am stepping down from the position of leading you guys. It's been my honor and privilege to lead you guys. This church values youth and students. Otherwise, they wouldn't have hired me. I didn't put myself in this position. God promoted me, and now God's moving me along. And the longest Paul would stay in a place was 2 years. And when he would leave, there was tears, which means he actually had an impact. So the fact that you guys would be sad in my departure is good, because it actually means I had an impact on your life. And I would encourage you guys, if God speaks to you, to rearrange your priorities, that you would do the same and you'd follow suit. You follow the good shepherd, I'm just an under-shepherd. And it's been an honor to serve you and lead you. Obviously, we have technology. So there's Facebook, there's Skype, there's FaceTime. I'm still connected with my mentors and Bible. You think my Bible teacher who married me was my Bible teacher when he married me? No, he's my Bible teacher in high school. And then he went on to marry me. He went on to be there at the hospital when my first son was born. He still mentors me to this day. He's the one I'm talking to in the midst of this transition. It's all right. So, that being said, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving. What did Jesus say to the disciples? It's better that I go, because then you can have the Holy Spirit. And I'm not Jesus, right? But in some times, it's actually better that the senior leader of an organization leave and then people take ownership. What happened to the disciples? The disciples went from a scared bunch of kids to people advancing the kingdom of God, right? And I've released and equipped you guys already, and so I feel like you're going to take even more ownership. I challenge you to do that. I challenge you just as the disciples. Revival broke out when Jesus left. Revival could very well break out here, my friends. But if you come to despair and think, oh, Rob's gone, don't do that. Say, wow, this is an opportunity to take what he's given us, the platform, and run with it. And God's going to steward you, and Jesslyn is going to steward you, and there's going to be people that they bring in to come. We're coaches, you guys. I'm not the quarterback. I'm not the MVP. You guys are. You guys are captains and teammates and players on the field. We're just coaches. But I love you. Hopefully I can marry some of you. Hopefully I'll be there when some of you have your first child. The mentorship didn't stop with my mentor when the job officially stopped, right? I'm not really getting paid to love you. I'm getting paid to facilitate ministry. I will love you regardless. So come, talk to us, Facebook us, Skype us, stay in contact. So yeah, that's what Bethany and I feel called to do. We love you guys. I'm going to pray. Jesslyn's going to come up, and then we're actually going to spend a little bit of time with your small group leaders, because one of our core values at FSM is that you connect with mentors and you connect with those small group leaders. And a lot of them have families, and they're planted here in Arvada, and they've been here a long time. Chet Herzog was my mentor and small group leader growing up, still speaks into my life today. And that's what we would want for you guys. So we're going to give you a chance to process through this a little bit with them. Obviously, Bethany and I will be around today. You guys can come talk to us too. Next Sunday will be my party. We're going to have a going away party. It is coming up quick, but I feel like I've heard the word from the Lord. I've shared it with my authorities, and now it's like the ball's rolling, and so we're going to get on it. And you're going to have this whole summer to stay plugged in at FSM and see what God does. It's going to be exciting. So let me pray. Justin's going to come up, and then we'll kind of break out into small groups. You can talk to your leader. Come talk to me. Father, thank you that you are gracious enough to catch us before we fall. I haven't fallen. I don't feel like you're mad at me. But you have brought me foresight of a road I could have gone down. And I don't want to go there, God. And it's not either or. It's not ministry or family. You can do both. And so many pastors do a great job at loving their family and loving the ministry. But Father, I got to figure out family first. So help me to do that. Help me not to just say it up here and preach it with my mouth. Help me to go and actually do it every day. Not just, oh, I'm going to wait till I move. Nebraska's the goal. No, the goal is that I just love my family. That's the goal. So you know, continue to guide me. Continue to speak into Bethany and I's life. Guide the students, speak into their life. Would they come around each other? Would the student leaders step up and be exactly what they've been called to be, student leaders? Would they lead the other students? Would the adult leaders continue to stay plugged in and stay committed? I'm thankful that you speak. Your sheep hear your voice, and I've heard your voice, and that's good. That means you're a loving daddy. That means you haven't left me. It was your voice that led me here. And it's your voice that's going to lead me and my wife and my son from glory to glory to whatever the next open door is. So, Father, would we be encouraged? And would we grieve? When Paul left, people grieved. And I know I don't have the influence of Paul by any means. But, Father, we'll grieve, but then let there be joy. Let there be joy in these students' hearts, knowing that their leader follows the voice of the Lord, that their leader's getting priorities right before things turn out wrong. And would they do the same? Would they reevaluate their priorities, get them right? They are so loved. Would they feel loved? Would they know that we're available, that I want to be in their lives, not just in their church? We love them. In Jesus' name, amen.
You all look like the FSL kids. It was like, shock. But you guys, Rob has just been a blessing this year. I've been so thankful for him, blessed to work with him. A lot of the things that I've been saying as we've been processing through this is he was a huge, just as we were shifting toward being vision-based, he was just a gift in the foundation of being vision-based. And we're a ministry that's about you. We're not a ministry that's about Rob or about Jesslyn. That's not what we're about. We're about you knowing Jesus and lifting you up to allow you to be the young men and young women that God is calling you out to be. So obviously, I mean, I've been sad for a couple weeks, but we're sad, but we're hopeful for Rob. I'm very proud of him that his wife and baby Nehemiah, you know, I mean, how can you not put Nehemiah first? I mean, that gets cute. So I'm very proud of him for just being real with the Lord and letting God be real with him and calling him to have his priorities where they need to be. So this is good. You know, it's painful. We're going to celebrate him next week. We're going to pray for Rob and Bethany and Nehemiah next week. We're going to continue to love them, obviously, no matter where they go. But we're also going to ask you guys, we're going to process with our small groups today for just a little bit, but I want to ask you guys to pray for your next leader. You know, we're in the process of looking for who, you know, the main communicator will be in this room, and Rob's going to be praying for that person to come in, because that's a part of, like you said, Jesus left. We are constantly having to give away authority, mm-hmm. give away leadership, and kind of keep following God where he's leading our life. So I know that Rob's been praying for who that person is. I am, the staff is, and you guys just have expectant hearts about who God's going to bring in to kind of keep carrying this forward. and like Rob said, facilitating, because you guys are really responsible for where we go and what happens in this room. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful. And so what we want to do is your leaders asked us, your small group leaders rock, by the way. And they have, yeah, that's right. That's right. Bryce clapped for you. Whomever Bryce's small group leaders. No, but we want you guys to just process with them. This is what I said to your small group leaders on Wednesday. We love that you guys would attach to like Rob or myself or people who teach, but your small group leaders are the people who you get to have an intimate, personal,
yep,
relationship with on a weekly, bi-weekly basis. And so if you guys aren't in small groups, I still would encourage you to get together with a small group and meet the person who's your small group leader.
Meet them today.
Because they are fabulous people who volunteer their time in here, and I'm very thankful for them. And so we're going to release you guys to do that. If you don't know who they are, Jennifer Good here is freshman, right?
Freshman girls.
So you guys can start moving. Lee Ellen in the back is sophomore girls.
You guys, leaders want to like spread out.
Yeah, you can spread out. Carrie and Liz, also in the back over there, are junior girls. If you already know your leader, you can get up and move.
Yeah, go to your leader if you know.
You know, Jamie and Anthony are freshman sophomore boys. And Chet over here is
junior senior guys. Senior guys over here.
So you guys can kind of... And Rob and Bethany will be here, so you guys can hug them and love them and so on and so forth.